This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We know that some of the seed fell among the wayside, some amongst the thorns, and some among the rock, and some among the good soil. And then Jesus explained this parable, saying this is the outlay, the interpretation of this parable, the meaning of it. The seed is the word of God, and some who do not understand it, the devil will come and take it away. But the rest of the seed all germinated. They were all received with joy. They were all received, the word of God, with joy, but only one seed remained to the end to bear fruit. Because one of the seed, even though it was received with joy, did not last, because the moment persecution arose because of the word, it withered and died. You see, one of the tests of our faith is trials and tribulation. What sort is this confession and faith? In James 1, verse 2 to 4, we read, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." 1 Peter 1 says, "In this you also greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, the honor, and the glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ." One of the ways our faith is tested is through the trials and persecution that we face in this world, because of our faith. Oh, and there are many attacks on the truth of God. Oh, there are many attacks on the word of God. I mean, the same old tactic the devil used from the beginning: did God really say? Did it really mean? Let me give you an alternative. And if that is not enough, I will add some pressure to see whether you really believe. The second test of our faith is our obedience to Christ as God. It's the second test of faith. It's a very simple one. It's obedience. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say?" In Matthew 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father." Many will say in me that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness." I never knew you, you who call me Lord, the Son of God, the Christ. I never knew you. So what is the test if we truly know God? That test is found in 1 John 2 and in many other places in the Word, but I'll read this one. As a matter of fact, the heading in my Bible is "The Test of Knowing Him." It says here from verse 3, "By this we know that we know Him." Not that we know that we know that we know. Have you heard that answer before? How do you know Him? No, I know, but I know, but I know. No, the Word of God says no. It's actually more simple than that. How do you know that you know Him? If you keep His commandments. "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." You see, those 120 in the upper room was not there randomly by chance. They had faith in Christ as the Son of God, and they were obedient to His word. You see, that brings us to the second principle, that God builds His church with those who are obedient to Him. Firstly, those who have faith in Him, and secondly, those who are obedient to Him. The 120 together in unity of faith and obedient to God's command was waiting, praying in one accord, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them according to Christ's word. And speaking in different tongues, powerfully magnifying and speaking of the greatness of God in different languages, a great multitude was gathered together, perplexed by what they hear and see in this 120. And then Peter stood up and shared the gospel with those gathering around him. And it was a very simple message. It was a very simple gospel. It wasn't a very long sermon like mine. It's actually very short. Basically, you can read it in Acts chapter 2. It's just a few lines long. And this is really what it was. First of all, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's the gospel, the good news. Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified by men, but raised by the power of God, and is seated at the right hand of God, and now pours out His Holy Spirit on those who believe, repent, and be baptized. That was it. The simple gospel. Short, powerful, radical, cuts to the heart. You got to decide who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, who was crucified by men, raised by God, seated at the right hand of God, and whoever believes in Him will receive the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. And so we read in Acts chapter 2 from verse 37, now when they heard this simple message, radical as it was, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do in response to this? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. And those who received His word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The first church. What do we learn? What can we understand from the Word of God, that what is universal for us today? Because the gospel does not change. Oh, many try to change this gospel, but it still remains the same. The hearing of it, as radical as it is purposed that way so that we can make a radical decision. It is a radical gospel that requires a radical response. That brings us to the third principle, that God builds His church with those who respond to the gospel with a radical commitment. How did they respond? What is this radical commitment? They asked this question, what must we do? And the response was, you must repent, you must turn away from the world, and you must be baptized. Baptism was always controversial. It was controversial in its time, and it's still controversial to this day, because it's a radical commitment. It's a radical statement that I choose to embrace everything that God has done for me. My old life, my old man is crucified with Him so that my body of sin might be done away with, and I'm buried with Christ so that I be raised with Him to new life. That is Romans 6. I think one of the words spoke about baptism. That was the quote from Romans 6. Do you not know that those who are baptized with Christ has died to sin? How should you any longer live in it? It was a radical response. Baptism was always controversial. It was the outer call of the early church. It was the sign of a commitment to Christ, and it still is to this very day. The gospel is good news, but it's always been radical. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist started his ministry with a simple message. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and let yourself be baptized." And then Jesus started his ministry with exactly the same message. In Matthew 4, we read, and Jesus started his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and be baptized." All the followers were baptized. And then Peter stood up in the first church and he said exactly the same thing, "Repent and be baptized." You see, it's a radical message that requires a radical response. Leads to a radical response, not just from us, but from God. It's in that response that something supernatural, amazing happens, where we are born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then God puts His seal upon us. This is radical. The same Spirit that was in Christ, the same Spirit that showed John the Baptist who was the Messiah, because John said himself in John chapter 3, "I did not know who He was, except He who sent me to baptize told me, on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain on Him, He is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, and I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." It was the sign who was the Son of God with a capital letter. It was a radical sign. And today, when we make a radical commitment, God responds to us in a radical way by pouring out the same Spirit that was on His Son in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in those who follow Him radically. It's a radical message, requires a radical response. And gone equally so. It's powerful. I always say it must be amazing when angels look upon us and see the same Spirit of Jesus in you and me. It must be amazing. The Word of God says they are amazed. The same Spirit that was in Christ now lives in you and me. That brings us to the fourth and final point for today. God builds His church through the power of the Holy Spirit. It was not only for the original 120, but it is promised to all who believe and respond to the gospel. In Acts 2 verse 37, "And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself.'" You see, this is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to seal our salvation, but it was also given for a purpose beyond that. If we read what was said to the 120 and the apostles here in John, or in Acts chapter 1 from verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, we have all been called into fellowship, partnership, participation, and contribution with each other and with God. That powerful word, koinonia, fellowship. We have been called into partnership, participation, and contribution with each other and God through the Holy Spirit. It is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that we participate, partner, and contribute in God's purpose. If you believe and you are willing to make a radical commitment, then God will empower you so that you can continue Christ's work on the earth until He returns. The question is just this: do you believe? And are you willing to make a commitment? And for those of us who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, remember the gifts are there not for ourselves, but to make us effective as laborers in the harvest field, to make us effective as witnesses. The gifts and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the prophecy, the healing, the miracles, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, it's all given not so that we can be happy and esteem ourselves as worthy, but it was given so that we can be effective in the harvest. That's why we have been empowered, so that we can partner and participate in God's purpose. So let us not forget this as a charismatic church. Let us use it for its purpose, the various gifts. Let us honor God with His purpose for us and our empowerment. The partnership, participation, and contribution with God in His harvest, His kingdom, and His church. I want to ask the ushers if you can hand out for us the elements of communion. And I want us today, as we share just on four elements of the early church and principles that are universally applicable, I believe, to us today. I want us to take this moment as we wait for one another before we partake of communion and just consider these four things. God's heart, vision, desire for church, and our willingness to take that step towards where God wants us to be. And those four things are simply this: it is faith, it's obedience, it's commitment, and it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Four elements on which the first church was built. Four elements, I believe, that God continued to build its church. It's faith, obedience, commitment, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you take this moment as we close our eyes? I'm going to pray for us, but I want us to consider these four things. Four areas in our lives that beckons a response. Who do you say I am? Do you follow me? Are you obedient to my commands, to my will? Are you committed to follow me wherever I may lead you? And are you willing to be empowered, used by my Spirit? Let's consider those four things. Four things that is part of God's desire for church, but four things that is God's desire for us as individuals. Let us consider that. And I want us just to respond to the Lord around those four areas. Just in your own heart, in your own words, just speak to the Lord. Everybody received the bread. Still waiting for the bread. We need some bread to this side. Everybody received the cup. There at the back, we still need a cup there, way at the back. Yes, Father, we thank you that we can come to you this morning and just be reminded again of your love for us and your purpose for us. That you were willing to pay the price that we could not pay. It is by your grace that we are saved. You took the penalty of our sin upon yourself. And you took the punishment so that we can be free. At great cost, in great love and grace, you saved us. And Lord, we thank you for this morning. We remember the cost as we eat this bread. In Jesus' name. Lord, it was your blood that was spilt that gave us life. It was your blood that washes us clean and make us acceptable, holy, and justifies us before the Father. It's because of your blood that we can stand in his presence without fear, but in boldness, knowing that we have access not just to you, but we stand in a relationship with you. As children of God, we can call you Father because of what you have done for us, Jesus. We are eternally thankful for what you have done for us. God, thank you that you have saved us, redeemed us, washed us, adopted us into your family, and gave us eternal life and a future and a hope to be a co-heir with your Son for eternity. And you've given us purpose for this life and the life to come, that we can participate and partner with you in your kingdom and your will. So, Lord, as we drink this, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray for each and every one of us here today, Lord, that have faith in you. Lord, maybe there are someone here today that you need to make that step and answer that question, not from your culture or from your parents or from your church, but from your own heart: who is Jesus? And if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you want to respond to God and you want to make that declaration, that confession, that today, God, I choose to accept you as God, as King, as the Son of God, as my Savior, as the one that I follow all the days of my life. If that is you, while all the eyes are closed, you want to respond to that, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, God, here I am. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I'm going to give you a moment if there's anybody else. Thank you for those hands. God, today, men and women are choosing to put their faith in you. Not because of their culture, but because of who you are. In Jesus' name. And then there's some of us here today that you need to respond to this obedience. God is calling you to keep His commandments, not just to believe, but to be obedient to every word. Like Peter said, but to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. And if that is you, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about your steps of obedience that you need to take. Just want you to respond by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I realize I need to take this step, Lord, and commit myself to follow you, to follow your word, wherever you lead, in Jesus' name. Thank you for those hands. Then there's some here today that you realize, as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, that you need to make a commitment. You need to take a step from where you're at to a place of absolute surrender, a radical commitment. A radical commitment. And it might mean different things to different people, but as the Holy Spirit leads you, if you want to respond to Him, say, God, yes, I realize you've been speaking to me and I need to make this decision, a radical commitment. And for some of you, that might mean to be baptized, to take that step of a radical commitment to Him. And if that is you, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord, I need to respond to you. I realize, Lord, I need to take this step of commitment. Thank you for those hands. Then there's some here this morning, I believe, that you realize you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need to receive this promise, this gift, to be filled, empowered by the Holy Spirit so that you can do His work. So that you can be effective as a witness. And if that is you and you realize you need this empowerment, you need to respond, just raise your hand before God. Thank you for those hands. So powerful steps, these four. And I want to ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you because each one of them is necessary to make a confession, to take a step. And we want to pray with you for each and every one. So if you've raised your hand for any one of those four, I want to ask you to quickly come forward. And I want to ask the facilitators to come forward, the leaders. And we want to pray a blessing over you. We want to pray a blessing over those who take the step of answering who Jesus is in front of God and man. This is powerful. And those who want to take this step and make a step of obedience, and those who want to make a step of commitment, and those who want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. So I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, to quickly come forward, and we're going to minister to you. I was in Ukraine, and we asked the churches there, we asked the pastors, what difference can we make in your country? What difference can we as a church sending a short-term mission team make? What difference can it make in your church, in your country? And one of the pastors said something powerful. He said, it depends how deep you want to go in. And he was referring, of course, to Elijah, or Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, that saw the vision of this river of life, and the angel took him in, and he started off with his feet in the water. And then the angel said, come a bit deeper. And they went knee deep. And then he said, now come a little bit deeper, until it was hip high. And then he said, come deeper, until he couldn't stand anymore, and the river took him. And this is the question I realize that God is asking each and every one of us. How deep do you want to go? And for some of us, today is simply a step from your feet in the water to your knee. That is fine. This, our life with God is a journey. It continues. It continues until we come to that point where we absolutely are swept away by this river. And then He teaches us to swim. But today, it's simply if you're making that step, maybe from your feet in the water to your knee, or maybe from your knee to your hip, or maybe you're taking that final leap where you surrender everything. So I want to give you an opportunity just to respond. I want to ask the facilitators, as we pray, please ask what we're praying for and pray accordingly. For the rest of us, can we stand, and we're just going to worship together one song. And as we finish this song, may God bless you as you fellowship together, you go from this place, and we continue to ask God to establish His will and His purpose in us, and give us the boldness to conform to what He teaches us, so that we can become the church that gives Him glory and not man, so that He will be honored forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.